give you the example in that I was in. It's funny because God uses certain things to open your eyes. You know, it's like you'll be in a situation and you'll learn something from it. And I'm not saying He did it on purpose for you to learn. I'm just saying that you do learn things. And He says, hey, notice this. One of the times, one of the ways in which I grew, and this wasn't but just probably 2 or 3 years ago that it really hit me, but I was up in Washington. I was at a Russian church. I had a Russian interpreter. And as we were going, we ministered, and it was a Saturday night service. And I was going to preach the next Sunday morning also. They spoke Russian. I don't speak Russian. I had an interpreter. The ones that were there didn't speak much English. And so I ministered. He interpreted for me. And then when we got done, I said, all right, if you need healing, I want you to come forward. I hadn't done a training, so there wasn't a whole bunch of other people there to do the praying. I had to do it all. And we had probably 800 people there. And out of that, I probably had to pray for, I would guess, at least 300, at least. And so when I said, if you're sick, you need healing in your body, come forward. Well, the interpreter interpreted it and told him in Russian, if you need healing, come forward. And it was, I thought they misunderstood because it looked like everybody was coming. And so they were about 8 or 10 deep all the way around the platform there. I said, okay, well, just line up here. You know, and it wasn't neat lines. It was just a crowd. It was like an altar call. Everybody just pushed him forward and crowded in. And so I said, okay, so I was going to go down. And I stepped down there, and I turned around, and my interpreter was gone. Oh, no. I'm looking, you know, and he was off somewhere, and I didn't know if he was coming back or not. So I went on down, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and minister. And I realized, of course, they don't speak English. I don't speak Russian. What am I going to do? And I thought, well, you know, the thing is, no matter what they tell me, I'm going to do the same thing. Right? All I'm going to do is take them by the hands and release life. That's all I'm going to do, because life is the answer to everything. Right? Sickness is just the absence of life. And so I went down, and I couldn't even say, give me your hands. I mean, they didn't even understand that. So I just looked at them, and I'm like, you know, and they look at me, and they go, so obviously this ain't going to work if we're both doing the same thing. So I would take their hand and turn it over. And when I turned their hand over, then I would, you know, you turn over and you turn loose to take their hand. As soon as you turn loose their hand, they go like that again. You're like, no. Stay. No, stay. You know. So then I would just take them by the hand and just stood there for a second. And it was neat because it didn't take long at all. I just grabbed them by the hand and said, in the name of Jesus, life. Right now, be healed. Now. Turn loose. See, it didn't do any good to say, okay, how's that? Is that better? Are you healed? They didn't understand me. I didn't understand them. So I went through the whole line. I prayed for everybody there myself, all by myself, right in line. Bam, 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 bam. But it was really quick because I didn't have to talk with them. I didn't have to ask them questions. I mean, it was amazing. You know, I didn't have to be polite. You know, we have to, how you doing? Okay, what can I do for you? All right. And then they tell you their medical history. You know, well, it started when I was 2, and then whenever I was 3, this happened. I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor. I don't need to know all of that, okay? Are you hurting? Are you sick? Yes. Okay, that's it. Let's do this, you know? And so I just went down the line, bam, bam, bam. And then I went back to the motel room, and I was lying there in bed, and I thought, you know, that was different. That wasn't normal. And it wasn't that I was doubting, but I was just curious to see what the results were going to be. Because it was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. So the next morning we got up, went up to church, preached. And before I preached, actually, the pastor came up and said, and this pastor is awesome. I mean, his name is Sergey. Excuse me. But he is strong Russian. And I guarantee, I'm telling you, I'm wondering if he was ever in the KGB. I mean, he just has that look. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like you would not want to cross this guy, okay? You would end up in Siberia, okay? He's a great guy, great man of God. highly, highly respected in the Russian community. I didn't know it at the time, but I found out later. As a matter of fact, I was later on even up in another part of Washington, up in northern Washington. He was a pastor, but this was in Vancouver at that point, Vancouver, Washington. And not too long ago, I went up to the other part, and he actually came all the way up for one service just to get up and tell the people, listen to this man. He's got the Word of God. It works. Listen to him. He sat back down after the service. You know, we said hi, shook hands, that kind of stuff, and he left. He drove all the way back. He drove about 3.5 hours, 3.5, 4 hours, I guess it was, up there just to tell those people, listen, right? And they did, because they didn't want to go to Siberia. So, I mean, they listened to him, okay? But it was amazing because I didn't know it, but if you got his approval, boom, you're in. You know what I mean? They respect him. They respect his spiritual authority, his spiritual discernment. And it was amazing because it just opened doors all across Russia now, Ukraine, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, all those areas wide open. It was amazing. Well, that morning he got up and he said, all right, how many of you were here for the healing service last night? Hands went up. He said, all right, now, if you were healed, we want to hear your testimony. So come forward and testify. It's like nobody moved right away. It was everybody's kind of, he said, and then it was all being interpreted. I was listening as they were interpreting it for me. He said, I said, if you were healed, come forward and testify. Now. I mean, you know, I mean, it was just, it looked literally like exactly the same number of people that came forward the night before. It was amazing. And they went through giving testimony. Every kind of disease, everything you can imagine, it was amazing. All healed overnight, right? That quick. It was that quick. And so they were healed and they were testifying. And I went back. That day, I grew. Because I realized, I don't even have to know what's wrong with you. You see? I don't even have to know the problem. I don't have to know the name of the problem. I don't have to know how long you had the problem. It doesn't matter. See, in the military, we always had a saying that there is no problem that enough C4 can't solve. Okay? Excuse me. Basically, what all that means is you can solve anything with enough explosives, right? A lot of people try to operate like a sniper. You know, they want to know, you know, one shot, one kill. You know what I'm talking about? You want to aim on this thing, get the name of the disease, hit that thing. How long has it been there? Jesus didn't operate that way. Jesus operated with a nuclear warhead. You know? He just set it off and boom, it was gone. Amen? And I learned, but not only did I grow, but God grew in my sight. Because I realized how big He is. How it's amazing. You know, it's funny how you go different places. I do this several places here in the States, but also overseas. I did it in Australia, I did it in South Africa, Thailand, pretty much everywhere I go at some point. And it's funny because I'll say right from the beginning, you go over there and you'll have a crowd of 5,000-6,000 people easy. I mean, that's not a problem ever. And you tell them, you get this crowd there. Well, there's no way I can pray for 5,000 or 6,000 people by myself in a night. I mean, at some point people are going to get tired and have to go home waiting for me to get to them. And so I always just start out, I said, okay, how many of you are in pain? They'd raise their hands. I said, all right, first off, we're going to deal with that. So just to show you that Jesus is here in the name of Jesus right now. Pain, I command you to leave these people's bodies. You leave them now. Go now in Jesus' name. And I say, all right, now, who got healed? And they're like, it's always funny because in the beginning, nobody raised their hand. It's like they're checking it. And I tell them, check it out. Move around, see if the pain's there, see if it's gone. And then it's almost like popcorn. It's like pop, there's a hand, pop. Another hand, pop, and pretty soon his hands are going up quick. I'm like, yeah. I said, now look at that. Who touched you? Who did that? Did I come down there? No. Jesus touched you. Jesus set you free. And I started saying, look, when I go to places, if I'm going to go to India or any place like that, right now they've asked me to take over to India. And we've had a standing invitation there. We're trying to get over there. And they said, if you come here, they said, we guarantee you, as long as you want to stay, we can have you in stadiums, we can have you in crusades, you'll have at least 50,000 people per night, as long as you want to come. He said, the people are ready, They're ready to come. As long as you want to stay, we can have a crusade every night, whatever you want to do. And I'm thinking, there is no way I can do this with 50,000 people. You can't do that. And then I remembered a story with T.L. Osborne. And I remember him saying he was standing in a crowd like that, and he was used to laying hands on people. And he was trying to figure out, how am I going to get to these people? And God asked him, how big am I? And he said, well, what do you mean, how big are you? God, you're big. What do you mean? He said, no, how big am I? He said, how many people can I heal? Can I heal one? He said, well, of course you can heal one. Can I heal five? Well, yeah, of course you can heal five. He said, can I heal 50 at one time? He said, well, God, you're God. You can heal 50. He said, how about 1,000? And then it started hitting him. What was going on? He said, yeah, you can heal 1,000 at one time. He said, what about 50,000? He said, God, you can do it. And that's whenever he quit praying for people individually. And he would just get on the platform and he would just pray a mass prayer. And he said, he would get up there and he'd say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. And he said it was amazing the first time he did it. He said it scared him. Because he commanded healing and he commanded devils to come out. And he said all of a sudden, one minute everybody's standing there looking at him, and the next minute all kinds of stuff started happening. Right? All these devils started manifesting and people falling down and all kinds of people running and screaming and all kinds of stuff. And he had to go, whoa, 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 in the name of Jesus, stop it. And bam, it stopped. And he said, you'll come out and you won't cause any trouble. And then the people just started getting free. And then in one case, they actually passed a baby. It was the body of a baby that had died across the top of the crowd. And they passed him all the way up and this baby, little baby was wrapped. And when they got up to the front, he took the baby and held it in his arms. And when he looked, he held it and started praying over it. And then he handed the baby back. When the baby got back, the baby was alive. I mean, just story after story. And I started to listen to those. And that's the stuff I was raised on. I started saying, God, you can do that. You can do that. And so I tried to get God bigger in my vision. Because God has no limitations other than the ones we put on him. And we set the limitations. Now, see, here in America, unfortunately, we're spoiled. See, over there, they will walk for 2 weeks to get to a meeting and then sleep on the grounds out in the open air just to be in the meeting, just to wait for the man of God to come by and wave his hand and say a prayer. And they'll get healed. In America, we're really sold on, you know, customer service. You know, we want individual prayer. We want individual service. We want individual. But it shows the greatness of God when he can touch lives in mass. Amen? And we're going to pray for you. You are going to pray for each other. Everybody's going to get prayed for us. So don't worry about that. But I just want you to try to get away from this. A lot of it's kind of an American mentality. You know? Well, bless God, I drove for 2 hours to get here. And it cost me X amount of dollars. And I'm going to have to spend the night in a hotel. And that's more money. And, you know, by the time I leave here, I'm going to end up spending, you know, $200 on this trip. And bless God, I want at least a $200 prayer. You know, believe it or not, that's the way people think sometimes. So, but what we're going to give you is a blood of Jesus prayer. We're going to give you a prayer that was bought at the expense of Jesus' back. Amen? So you're going to get a prayer worth it. Amen? Now, I could tell you all kinds of stories, but I want to get you ready for you to start praying for people. And so first off, now remember, when you start to minister to people, this is not fellowship time, right? This is not time to get into a lot of conversation. And those of you that are sick and you need healing, whenever they ask you, what can I do for you or what's the problem, please understand, as far as we're concerned tonight, nobody here is a doctor. Now, you may be a doctor, but that's fine, not tonight. Tonight, you're a divine healing technician, okay? So if we ask you what's wrong, give us the name of it, if it has a name. If it doesn't have a name, or if the doctors can't diagnose it, tell us that. Doctors can't die. They don't know what it is. Or give us a symptom. Okay? If it's several things, say, it's several things. We don't have to know everything. See, what we're looking for, when you tell me that, I'm listening for clues. And when you say, doctors can't diagnose it, okay, that tells me what it is. Right? It's not physical, it's spiritual. So we're going to deal with it from that aspect. If you say, well, it's several things, okay, then we also know what that is, okay, and we're going to deal with it a certain way. Now, if they say it's several things, all you're going to do is say, all right, in the name of Jesus, spirit of infirmity, we command you to go. That's all it is. Right? If it's several things, that's where it's going to come from. If a doctor can't diagnose it, again, it's a spirit of infirmity. That's all it is. It's spiritual. It's not physical. That's why many times, well, that a lot of times comes from a traumatic experience, like a car wreck or something like that, that allows this thing to take place. But the bottom line is, we're going to set you free. It's going to be easy. It's not hard. Remember, we're not representing us. We're not straining. Right? We're not doing this in our own might or our own power. Okay? We're doing this in the name of Jesus. Right? So it's in His power. So we're not going to strain. If we had to strain, then that means it's hard for God to get it done. It's not hard for God. This is easy for God. Okay? There is no problem in this building that is hard for God. Amen? It's easy for God. Now, if you do have a Bible, I'm going to take you one place. Go to Acts chapter 3 very quickly. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. You can listen along. We're just going to read through this. Acts chapter 3. I just want to show you something very simple. Remember, when you start ministering, you're not going to take no for an answer. I don't mean from the person. I'm saying if you pray for somebody, what you're going to pray, what you're going to do is you're going to tell that thing, in the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, body, you work right. Any of those things are okay. Remember, it's not a formula. It's not what you're saying that's as important as who's saying it. Okay? And you're saying it in the name of Jesus, and that's what counts. And you're going to be speaking to this thing and commanding it. Now listen, you're not talking to God about it. We've already talked to God about it. He's already talked to us about it. He said, by the stripes of Jesus, they're healed. So our job now is to set them free. So we're not talking to them. This isn't going to be a time of socialization to where we are, you know, getting together and talking and fellowshipping and all that. This is a time of warfare and setting the captive free. So we're just going to ask you what it is. You're going to tell us, and then we're just going to give a command. It's going to obey us, right? It doesn't have a choice because we're not doing it in our name. We're doing it in the name of Jesus. And everything that has a name will bow its knee to the name of Jesus. So whatever it is, we're going to command it, and it's going to go, right? And you think, but you know, okay, maybe I've heard of you or whatever. Maybe you haven't heard of me, which is no big deal anyway. You're not missing out on much. But, you know, and you say, but this person prayed for me. I don't know who they are and don't know anything about them. And, you know, they're not, you know, going around the world or whatever they're doing. Wait, number one, you don't know who they are, okay? First off, you don't know who they are, what they've done. I've heard so many testimonies from people here already this week that have already been doing this. They've been trained. They've already been doing it. It's amazing. It's great to come to a place and hear the testimonies that I've been hearing. And hearing, because I know this works, but I'm glad to hear you're doing it. And it's working for you. So they're going to, when they tell you do this, they're not even doing it in their name. They're doing it in the name of Jesus. Okay? So don't even pay attention to who's praying for you, because that doesn't matter. What matters is in whose name they're praying for you. Okay? Now let me prove it to you. Acts chapter 3. Should have gave you time to find it. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, what I'm going to read in these next few verses here is going to pretty much destroy pretty much every teaching on healing that's out there. Okay? Just this one passage, this one chapter. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but what we're going to read out here is going to destroy most of it. Now, I'll point it out as we go along. They were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, when were they going? At the hour of prayer, 9 o'clock, or, you know, being the ninth hour, okay? They were going up for prayer. Now, notice, where were they going? To the temple, but they were going to do what? To pray, right? So that's number one. They were not prayed up. Right? They hadn't been praying all night. They were going to pray. They got caught on the way to go pray by this guy, this lame guy. Right? So what does that tell us? You don't have to be prayed up because we know what's going to happen. So you don't have to be prayed up ahead of time to get somebody free. Amen? Okay. So remember, well, this kind doesn't come up by prayer and fasting. Really? You sure? Okay, you have to check that verse out. It's not in there. Okay? Now watch. He says in verse 3, who seeing, now I should ask too, right there, it says, which is called beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. What were they? What was this man wanting? Money, right? He wasn't looking for healing, right? He didn't have faith for healing, right? He wasn't even looking for healing. He was looking for money. Well, apparently he didn't have faith for money either because he was still begging, right? So his faith wasn't even working for money, right? To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, first off, that's strike number one for Peter. Because automatically we know, I mean, everybody that's been in church any length of time knows better than to say, look at me. Right? You don't do that. What do you say? Look to Jesus. Isn't that right? Tell that to Peter. He didn't say that. He said, look on us. Look right here. Why? Your help is right here. Isn't that what he said? He said, look on us. He didn't say look to Jesus. Now listen, I'm not saying don't look to Jesus. Don't get scared. Okay? I'm just trying to show to you. I'm trying to show you here. Peter, apparently Peter didn't have the benefit of our modern theology. See? It's amazing that he was so deprived. I mean, all he had was 3 years with Jesus. Poor guy. You know? Funny thing is, his theology worked. Something to think about. Okay. Next. He said, look on us. Strike one. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Yep, money. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Right? Now that's one of your first clues that Peter was Pentecostal. One of the first ones right there. Okay. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Okay, that's strike number two. You don't say that. You don't say, oh, here, what I got, I give you. You can't say that. What you say, what you're supposed to say is, look to Jesus. Now, we'll pray and see what God wants to do. Isn't that right? But again, Peter didn't know that. Thank God Peter didn't know that. Amen? So he said, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now watch. And it doesn't say, and he sat by and waited. It says no. In verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Right? And immediately when he was lifted up. You notice the man wasn't healed when he said it? He wasn't healed until he took him by the hand and lifted him. Okay? Technically, this is called the working of miracles. He worked it. He did something to cause it to happen. Tonight, when we start praying for you, what we're going to do is we're going to pray, we're going to command, and then we're going to tell you, all right, now, do what you couldn't do before. Now, you say, well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Okay, let me give it to you in King James, right, so that it sounds a little more spiritual. Stretch forth thine hand, right? Remember who he told that to, the man with the withered arm? Okay, it was impossible for him to do that. What was he saying? Do what you can't do. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to tell you, be healed in Jesus' name. Now do what you couldn't do. If you couldn't bend your leg, bend your leg. If you couldn't walk, walk. If you couldn't bend over, bend over. If you couldn't breathe, take a deep breath. Just do what you couldn't do. Amen? Okay? Now, he says, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they that were filled, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now notice, they were filled with what? Wonder and amazement. Signs and wonders. You say, well, what's a sign and a wonder? Well, a sign is something that makes you wonder. Right? And they were filled with wonder. I wonder how that happened. Right? Now watch. Verse 11. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, saw what? Saw all the people coming together. He answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Now that verse right there destroys most healing teaching. Okay, notice first off he said, "Why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so earnestly on us as though..." Now isn't it funny? He just told this lame man, "Look on us." Then he says, "Why are you looking at us?" Right? Why? Because when he told the lame man that, the lame man had a need. But these people didn't have a need. They were looking at them. And he said, "Why do you look at us as though we did this with our own power?" Now notice, it wasn't their own power he did it with, that they did it with. It says, "Or as though by our own power or holiness." In other words, look, it's not because I'm a super anointed apostle. It's not because I'm special. It's not because of a special anointing. And it's not because I've been living such a holy life and living so perfectly. And I've been fasting and praying. Because we know they hadn't prayed. They were on their way to pray. Right? So everything he's saying here, he's saying, look, everything we say in the church today, he just said none of that was necessary. Now, I'm not saying you should never fast, should never pray. You should. But not to get God to move. Right? What you're doing when you do that is you're trying to twist. It's like a child throwing a temper tantrum saying, "I'm not going to eat until I get my way." Right? That's how most people use fasting. "I'm not going to eat until I get what I want." And you try to twist God's arm as though he's holding it back. Fasting isn't to twist God's arm. Fasting is to help you die. Right? For you to die yourself. Now, let me explain something to you. We've been talking about this, okay? Humans, remember we talked today about what we call the anointing, and I know most people think the anointing is the power to work miracles, but we showed you instead that that's called the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit coming upon you is the power to work miracles, and that kind of thing. Now, the thing is, you have Jesus within you. If you're born again, he lives within you. And as we said today, we're talking about the anointing. And people think, and I told you, the anointing doesn't come and go, he stays. Right? He abides. The Bible says the anointing which you received of him abides in you. So he's there. He doesn't get stronger. He doesn't get weaker. How can the Spirit of God get stronger or weaker? He can't. He is God. Right? He's not stronger or weaker. You say, okay, then what's the deal? Well, the problem is this. I would look at people and say, everybody has the same quote-unquote anointing, same power, same source, or whatever. And people say, oh, no, I know some people are more anointed than others. No, you don't. No, there's only one. That's the Spirit of God in you. That's Christ living in you. That's all you got. Now, you do know some people in whom Christ is more revealing himself more through. Okay? But that's because, not because God has said, "I'm going to give you more." It's because humans are like onions. Okay? If you take an onion, you buy it at the store, you take it home, you sit it on your counter, right? You can walk by that thing all day. It ain't going to bother you. Right? It doesn't have a smell, or it just sits there. But if you take that onion and you start peeling it, that aroma is released. Isn't that right? And the more layers you peel off, the stronger that aroma gets. Right? Now let me ask you this. Is the aroma, is the smell, the odor of that onion getting stronger? No. The smell is the smell. It is what it is. Now, are you smelling it more? Yes. Why? Not because it's getting stronger, but because you are peeling the layers, because down at the very heart of that onion is where it is the most pungent. That's where all this is coming from. So if you don't smell it very much, it's because there's too many layers between you and the heart of the onion. Right? That's the Christian. If people can't see Jesus in you, it's only because there's too many layers of you still left. Because he's in there. But the more of you peel away, the closer he is to the surface, and more the aroma of Christ is released through your life. And what God is trying to do is he's trying to peel you away until nothing is left but Jesus. And so that it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And everywhere we go, we are made a sweet-smelling savor of his aroma in all the world. Amen? That's what's in you. It's not that the anointing gets stronger or the power of God gets stronger. Or see, John the Baptist had it right. I must decrease so he can increase. Well, Jesus wasn't going to increase. It was just, John said, I got to get out of the picture so people can see him better. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Now that's what's happening. That's who you have in you. So if you want to see more of God in your life, just see less of you. Right? Get your mind off of you. And just pour yourself out. And don't even think in terms of, can I do this? Do I have faith? Do I have the power to do this? That's not even a question. It's no longer you that live. When you start thinking, do I stop? Die right then. Just stop. Right? It has nothing to do with you. Just do what you're supposed to do. Let Jesus work through your hands. Right? Just let him flow through you. The same spirit that was in Jesus wants to flow through you. And if you have the same spirit Jesus did, then obviously he should want to do the same things now that he did back then. If you can't do the same things and he doesn't have the same desire, how do you know you have the same spirit he had? How do you know you didn't get another spirit? Right? Same spirit, same results. Should be, right? Matter of fact, should even be better results, Jesus said. Why? Because Jesus faced an enemy that was not defeated. And he defeated him. We're facing a defeated enemy. This is a walkover. Amen? This thing should be easy. See, policemen don't generally have to. It's kind of like being a constable, and you go to somebody's house, and all you're doing is delivering the eviction notice. You just go and say, excuse me, it says right here, you got to go. That's all you're doing. Excuse me, cancer, look, I'm just going to say, cancer says right here, they were healed by his stripes, so I'm sorry, you're going to have to move out. Amen. That's all you're doing. You understand that? It's that easy. The thing is, you have to learn to rest in that and believe it's that easy, and whenever the cancer says, no, I don't want to go. Well, the first thing is, you have to be like a policeman and say, excuse me, I don't believe you heard me. I didn't ask you. See? Yeah, I didn't ask you if you want to leave. I'm telling you, you're going to leave. Right? And we can do this one of two ways, the easy way or the hard way. Right? But it's not going to be hard on me, it's going to be hard on you. Right? Now, the hard way is if I have to stand here and say in the name of Jesus more than once. Because the Bible says the devils tremble at the name of Jesus. Well, if they tremble, it must affect them somehow. Right? So now, notice what he says. Why do you look at us as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man to walk? Now watch, he gets a chance to preach. He says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up. Now what's he doing? He's pointing a finger at him. Whom you delivered up. God did it and you delivered him up. You. Talking to you. And he says, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. He's kind of blasting them, right? Now, you know they probably faded back a little bit. Oh, okay. Yep. Now watch. And now he tells us. Now you got to get this. If somebody tells you, if you say, how did you do this? And they say, well, this is how I did this. And you look at them and you go, no, that's not how you did it. Okay, who's the idiot? Not them. They did it. Right? You'd be an idiot for telling a person that's not how you did it. If the person that did it, shouldn't they know how they did it? Right? So you don't look at a person and say, no, that isn't how you did it. You listen to them. So now Peter says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. You hear that? Peter said, listen, why do you look at us as though if by some gift or anointing or by our own holiness through our fasting and prayer and all that kind of stuff, why do you look at us as though we did this? It wasn't that. You want to know how we did this? It's simple. It was the name of Jesus and faith in that name that made this man strong. Now, is that what he said? Yes. Now, you can't argue with that. What healed that man? The name of Jesus. Faith in that name. Now, let me ask you this. Who had faith in that name? Was it Peter? Because it wasn't the lame man. If it was a lame man, he would have been healed before Peter got there. Right? Had to be Peter, because Peter said, what I got, I give you in the name of Jesus. What did he have? The name of Jesus and faith in that name. Right? And that healed the man. Nothing else. Didn't say anything else, right? Now, let me ask you this. What does the Bible say about getting saved? Doesn't it say that there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved? So if you get saved, how'd you get saved? Was it by the name of Jesus? Was it just by the name, or was it by the name by faith in that name? So if you're saved, you got saved because of the name of Jesus and faith in that name. Is that right? Are you sure? Now, how many of you are saved? Okay, so what you're telling me is that you have the name of Jesus and faith in that name. Is that right? So what you're telling me is that you just admitted to having exactly what Peter said healed the lame man. Is that what you're telling me? That you have the same thing Peter had? Same name? And it doesn't matter who says the name, right? As long as you have the name and faith in that name, right? Because God's not a respecter of persons, right? But he is a respecter of faith, especially faith in that name. Amen? Then what are y'all waiting for? Ready for somebody to say, get up and go, right? Because you got it, right? Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Now let me ask you a simple question. Did Jesus go to the Father?
Yes.
Then there doesn't seem like there's anything left to do except get up and do the same works he did in greater.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So that means nobody can lie to you and tell you, well, you got to do this first, got to do that first, got to be perfect, got to fast, got to pray, got to have a word, got to have a direct commission to tie into a principality. Got to break the generational curses, got to break all the... Doesn't say any of that, does it?
Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus, faith, come on. This is what Paul said. Listen, I'm worried that you would be so quickly removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. And if anything, the church today has been greatly removed from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, this is how simple it is. Now, just to prove it, when Jesus went and got his original 12 disciples, where did he gather them from? Marketplace, seashore, fish, just out everywhere, right? You know, the one place it doesn't say he was at was the seminary in Jerusalem. Isn't that right? Isn't that strange? He didn't go down to the seminary. He didn't go to the Bible school. He didn't go down there and say, hey, I want the cream of the crop. I want the best students you got. I want the dean's list of students. Right? Matter of fact, it was that dean's list of students that kept giving him all the trouble. Right? And it was all over what day he did it on. Right? Isn't that amazing? Jesus, he prayed once and said, Father, I thank you that you have revealed this to the simple and the prudent. Right? And you've hidden it from the wise. Isn't that something? He purposely chose people. One of the things, if Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is composed of children, and of people with childlike faith, then how smart do you think you have to be before God? Maybe sometimes we're so smart that we talk ourselves out of things. I don't know if I have any books back there on the table or not, but I compiled a bunch of materials from Dr. Lake whenever he was in South Africa. And he actually, on page 99 of the book, it's called Writings from Africa, but on page 99 there was an excerpt, just a little paragraph. It was amazing because it was called An Education in Faith. And in it he said that there is no education in faith like seeing God do the thing. He said, I have a conviction that you can pray and pray and pray until you actually pray yourself into unbelief. He said, but my experience has proven to me that if you just get up and go out and use what God has given you, He will give you more. And that's the law of sowing and reaping. Amen? Now, early on I told you, and I don't... see if I can find it here real quick. There was one letter I wanted to read to you that Dr. Lake wrote to... Remember, I've seen you... He wrote it to a woman that was named Carrie Judd Montgomery. And it was amazing. She was an amazing woman, missionary, lived up in Oakland, Alameda, up in Oakland, California. And she always helped missionaries when they came through town. And he wrote this letter to her from South Africa in 1911. 100 years, April 22nd was 100 years ago. Now, you got to get that. This letter was written 100 years ago. Okay? He says, "Dear Sister in Christ, enclosed find some letters with incidents of what the Lord is doing among us. Reverend Stevenson has arranged for us with a friend for the circulation of the letter which you find enclosed." The letter you find enclosed. So he enclosed the letter with this. Now, he says, I want to get to the main part here. He says, "However, we praise God that He is moving strong and steady and clearly. I am reminded to write you through the reading of Mrs. Anderson's testimony as it appears in the Triumphs of Faith." That was Carrie J. Montgomery's monthly newsletter. "I don't have a copy of a letter that I wrote some time ago to a missionary by the name of Hoover at Valparaiso, Chile." Remember me talking about Hoover? Started the Pentecostal Methodist Church across the street from the Methodist Church. Yep. And he said, "I don't have that letter handy." But he said, now watch this, "on the subject of divine healing, which embodies what I regard as the secret of the aggressive ministry of healing that the Pentecostal movement of South Africa demonstrates." Well, I don't have that letter handy, but I do not know that I'll be able to send you a copy of it at this time, but at my earliest convenience, I'll have a copy prepared and send it to you. So in other words, he sent a letter to him. He said, I want to give you this letter. I don't have a copy, but I'll get a copy made, right? And in that letter, he said, I put the secret of why we're having the great miracles that we're having here in South Africa. He said, now listen to this. "I feel, sister, that there is a step in this ministry in advance of what the Pentecostal movement in general enjoys. And God has laid it deeply on my soul to present this particular phase of the exercise of the dominion of Jesus Christ. And that the secret..." Now he's going to tell her what the secret is. "And that the secret of our success here in this ministry..." You want the secret? He's going to tell you why they had the miracles and why they had the things going on over there. Now watch this. He said, "The secret of our success in this ministry is in our teaching our workers to exercise the dominion of God through the Holy Spirit, and that He has already put it in their soul, when He baptized them." In other words, he's telling them to exercise the dominion of God, the authority of God, and that He's already put that in them when He baptized them in the Holy Ghost, is what he's saying. "While in other branches of the work, in other groups in the Pentecostal movement, they still follow largely the old line of intercession for the sick." You hear that? He said, now, what we do and why it works so good for us is because we go to them and we exercise dominion. While in other groups, they're still begging God to heal. This was written 100 years ago. It could have been written yesterday, because the church is still that way today. Isn't that right? Now watch. "We do not pray for God to come and heal us in the old days, but looking into His face, believing that He has baptized us in the Holy Ghost and that we have received the power of God through that baptism, we command in the name of Jesus the devil and his works to depart." Amen. Now, you see that? Now, isn't that what you've been learning this week? And he said, that's the secret. You want the secret? There it is. And remember what I said? You can't argue with a man that does it. Can't argue with it. You can't say, well, that's not how he did it. It was a gift. It was an anointing. It was special. No. He said, it's because we teach our workers. It wasn't just him doing it. His workers were doing it. He said, now watch. He said, "I am convinced that there is a secret and better place of interceding for the sick. in exercising a dominion of God over the devil and his sicknesses that, when learned by the Pentecostal movement, will put the ministry of healing miles in advance of where it is now. Guess what? That's happening. It's working. It's working all over the world. Everybody that's been learning this, it's been working. And it is putting the ministry of healing miles in advance of the groups that are begging God to show up. His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong. Now, didn't I just read that? That's in the letter from 1911. I read that out of Acts chapter 3. He says, "Such as I have, give I thee." Also in Acts 3. We have never caught the force of Jesus' words to proclaim, preach, to proclaim liberty to the captive. Now think about that. You never hear liberty proclaimed. You hear it offered. You want freedom? Come down front. We'll pray. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is not, if you want free, we'll pray for you. The gospel is, Jesus Christ has paid the price. You are free. Now we're going to get this thing off of you. Amen? That is proclaiming liberty to the captive. Captive, you are free in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. He said, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now listen to that. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Where does the loosing start? Earth. When a child of God speaks, heaven hears and agrees. Right? Hell hears and obeys. Isn't that what he was saying right there? Whatever you loose on earth. Okay? Now watch. He says, it was through the healing of a young man from Detroit, Michigan, in your faith home at Buffalo, that my interest for the healing ministry was first captured. But it was not until many years afterward, when, through the teaching of John Alexander Dowie, that I really grabbed the thing, so that the knowledge of this ministry became real. And it was only after I had received the baptism in the Holy Ghost that the dominion of God entered my soul, that compelled me to command sickness and disease and the devil to leave, rather than to intercede with the Lord to take him away. Now, isn't that amazing? Now watch this. He said that there are two phases to entering into God's will. Watch. There are two phases to entering into the will of God. The first is the surrender of our will to do the will of God. Now, as a Christian, that's what you do to be a Christian, right? You surrender your will to do the will of God. So that's the first stage. Now watch. Most people's conception of doing the will of God is to become a non-entity. Oh God, just empty me. I don't want nothing. I don't know nothing. I'm just here. Just move me, God. You want me to lay hands on somebody? I'm walking through Walmart. Just take my hand and throw it over on them. Okay? No, that's not what... See, God isn't trying to get robots. God wants people that will submit their will to Him and work with Him. Co-workers together, fellow laborers together. You get that? Working together, not some robot, not some mindless person. The Bible never says to empty your mind. That's Eastern religion. The Bible doesn't say to empty your mind. It says to renew your mind so that you can think like Jesus. Amen? He says, the other, second phase, is recognizing yourself as God's son and man's servant. Now, didn't you hear that today? And what else? Devil's master, right? Okay. Now, he says, I think that the most wonderful exhibition of this truth that God can give us is in the fact that He gives us the Holy Ghost to use for God. For instance, the Lord says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But if you do not lay your hands upon anyone, they will not be healed. However, if you have faith to believe that you have the Holy Spirit to be used by Him and for Him, your heart and your hands will be ready. It's a sad thing to me that God has to go out on a special mission and hunt a soul up and wrestle with him in order to get him to do something for God. There used to be a Bible school in Ohio where they waited in continuous prayer meeting for 9 months for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said to them, it seems to me that if you stay around for 10 years and 9 months, you will miss the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But if you take off your coat and go out and use what God has given you to bless others, He will give you more. Amen? Now you know that whenever he went into a Bible school, they were laying on their faces begging out to God to come and do something. And he gets up and says, y'all could be here for 10 years and do this and not get nothing. Now you know that didn't go over good. That's not what people want to hear, right? But the fact is, he knew what he was talking about. And he said, look, it's the law of sowing and reaping. If you want to be used by God, get busy. Sow, you'll reap. You put out life, you take in life. You always take in more than you put out. God always increases your capacity. Right? Now, when I was in South Bend, there was a... Well, in South Bend, they have several car factories there. That's where they produce the Studebaker, and they had also produced the what was called the Avante. The Avante was an amazing car. You could take one wheel off, and the thing would still drive. One wheel completely off. It was so perfectly balanced. Amazing car. We went in to see this thing. It was a huge, it was bigger than an airplane hangar. And we had to climb these stairs up to the top, and they had this, the factory was pretty hot. It was a conveyor belt type thing. And upstairs was the stairs all the way up, and then they had this little bitty room. And you walk inside, and it wasn't very big, maybe held about maybe 5 or 6 people is all you could put in there. But they had a guy sitting there, and he was sitting in a big old comfortable chair. It was air conditioned, comfortable, and he had these joysticks he was sitting there working with. And it was amazing because he was sitting there, he wasn't even breaking a sweat. And he would sit there and he would move this joystick and move that joystick, and then there was this huge crane out in the factory. And he would just kind of tap that thing and that crane would go. And then he'd push a button, and he'd go down, and he would pick up a car chassis. And he was just talking to us, not even paying attention or just talking and going, and just almost like he's playing with this thing. Just, there we go, yeah, just talking. And this thing picked up a car, the chassis, the body, and put it over and on top of the chassis and put them together. And all just talking to us is the easiest thing you ever saw. And while this thing is moving, God spoke to me. And he said, that's the Holy Spirit. I looked at it and I thought, wow, that's neat. Because now let me give you the layout for this thing. What this was is that the company wanted cars made. So they hired this man. And they hired the man and said, we want you to fulfill our will of having cars made. And the man said, that'd be great, but I can't lift a car body. They said, don't worry. We got some equipment for you that can get the job done, but we need a human at the other end of it. Right? So then they put him in his chair, and now it was like he was sitting there. It'd be like, this is the person praying for people, the car is the sick person, and the crane is the Holy Spirit. The crane is doing something that the man can't do, but the company gave the man the equipment to be equipped, right? To accomplish their will. And he gave him the equipment that even though the man can't lift a car, they gave him some equipment that amplified his ability and his will to the point where he could accomplish the company's will. Amen? Now let me ask you this. Where did the paycheck go? Did it go to the crane? It went to the man. Why? Because somebody has to be there to direct the power of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the crane. He's the equipment. He's got the power. No, there's not one person in this room that can heal anybody. Is that right? Amen. Not one person. But there is the Spirit of God in every Christian in this room that can heal anybody. Amen? Amen? That's why tonight is not going to be a big deal. Right? Not for those of us praying. It may be a big deal for those of you getting prayed for. Right? But all we're doing is putting our hands to the work. And the Holy Spirit is going to amplify the will of God to the point where it gets done. Amen? Now, there's a lot more we could go on. I'll be here tomorrow morning. As a matter of fact, we'll be ministering some more. But I do want to get you started because I don't want it to be too late for you getting out here. Even though I do like to keep you after, usually after about 9 or 10. just so it's Saturday night. I don't want you to get up and go into a bar or something. So I got to keep you late enough where you can't go out and go sinning. So, but I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt that you're not going to do that. So we're going to go ahead and get you started. So we're going to begin to pray. Now before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and pray first, all right, just to get us started here. So in the name of Jesus right now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done this week, for your word, your spirit that's come forth. Father, what I've spoken, I believe to have been spoken by your spirit. And I thank you, Father, that your word has gone into the minds of the people, that it is accomplishing your will. Father, I thank you that you have given us people with willing hearts and willing hands, ready to work, ready to help. So, Father, in Jesus' name right now, we thank you. And we say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have your way. Show off. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time with what takes place here tonight. We give you all praise. We give you all honor and glory. And Father, we just thank you that you have allowed us to participate in Jesus' victory over your enemy, sickness and disease, all the works of the enemy. And we thank you even right now that this is already done, already accomplished. And we thank you now, Father, that you are allowing us to participate in it. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. And right now in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every spirit, every sickness, every disease in this room. And we command you that you will bow your knee to the name of Jesus. You have no option. We do not allow for you to resist. We allow for no manifestations. This is Jesus' show, not yours, devil. So in the name of Jesus, you will go. You will go peacefully and quietly. And in the name of Jesus, right now, we command all pain, sickness, disease, go! In Jesus' name. You leave these people and you never return. You have no right here, no place here, no authority here. You did not pay for these people. Jesus paid for them. You have no place here and you will go. In the name of Jesus, I set them free right now. And you will bow your knee to the name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Amen. All right, now, those of you that have been in the meetings all week, I want to get you to stand up. Okay? Now I'm going to get you to move forward. Come up here and look back out that way. Well, by the looks of things, I think we got them outnumbered. So now we don't want none of you Christians to be fighting over people now. There's plenty of people go around. Aren't you glad we can come to church and have a good time? Amen? It doesn't have to be all, you know, solid and, you know, dead. We can actually enjoy ourselves. Amen? Let me tell you, it's good to enjoy yourself. If you don't have fun, you don't enjoy yourself, you won't do it very long. All right. Now, those of you that are still seated, how many of y'all need healing? Okay, good deal. All right. All right, well now, here's what we're going to do. Now, how many of y'all that are standing, you would say, you know, I need some prayer too. I need healing in my body. Okay, yeah, I figured there'd be some. Okay. All right. Now, that's good because that's what you do is if you're sick, you pray for others and you can be healed and they can be healed while you're here. That's why we tell you, see, this is not about people. It's about Jesus and about His Spirit. You say, you're telling me that sick people are going to pray for me? Yeah. Yeah. And you're both going to be healed. Right? And then you're both going to wonder how, or maybe you won't both wonder how, but you may wonder how. But the bottom line is, it's by the Spirit of God. We're just cooperating with His plan. Amen? Now, before we get started, I do need to tell you one more thing. You all know, especially as Christians, I'm sure you've heard that we have a helper. Just talked about him, called the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him the Paraclete, or in the Greek it's called the Paraclete, which means it is someone who is called alongside to help. Right? In Mark chapter 16, it says that as they went out, he told them to go out and heal the sick and do all these things. And it says they'll lay hands on the sick. And it says they went forth preaching everywhere, and the Lord working with them, right? And healing, right? The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now, let me ask you, what signs following? If you lay hands on the sick, what signs should follow that?
Healing,
right? So signs follow, right? Now, if I'm walking and someone's following me, now where are they? Behind me? They're not in front of me, right? If they're in front, then I'm following them. See, unfortunately, too many Christians are following signs instead of signs following them, right? Now, if signs are following you, then that means signs are behind you, right? Now, let me ask you this. What signs? Healing, for one, right? Now, let me ask you this. Who heals?
Jesus
heals. The Spirit of God, isn't that right? He said, he said, you know, wasn't me, it's the Spirit of my Father in me. It's the Spirit of God in him that healed, right? So it's the Spirit of God that heals, right? Now, if the Spirit of God heals, and healing is a sign, and signs follow, so signs are behind us, that means healings are behind us, and if the Holy Spirit's the one that does the signs, where's the Holy Spirit? Oh, y'all got real quiet there, didn't you? Yeah. He's behind us, isn't he? And obviously he is inside of us, but you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. You're not following the Holy Ghost. He's following you. You understand that? If signs are following you and he does the signs, then he's following you. He's waiting for you to move before he can move. He's not moving first. You're moving first. You lay your hands on the sick, then he does it. You understand? All you're doing when you're putting your hands on the sick is going, this one. And he goes, oh, okay, boom, there you go. Right? He's the paraclete, a helper. Now, as a helper, this is amazing because like an electrician, and you have an electrician who's certified, but then you have the electrician has a helper. Right? And the electrician says, okay, we're going to rewire this building. Now, go get the stuff from the truck, and the helper goes to the truck and gets all the stuff, and he brings it in and says, okay, put it all out, and I'll be back in a little bit, right? The certified electrician goes and gets what he needs. He comes back, and if he's got a good helper, then the good helper would have the electrical wire laid out the way he wants it, connectors where he needs them. He'll have the tool in it. Everything will be ready, in place, right? And then whenever the electrician has to get up there and do it because he's the certified one, right? But he has a helper that's working with him. So as he's up there doing it, he'll say, all right, now I'm going to need those crimping clamps. Okay, here we go. And if you've been working together a while and you know each other, he'll see what you're doing, right? And as you start to say you need something, he's already seeing what you're doing, and you put your hand out, and he'll put it in your hand before you even ask him, right? And you go, yep, okay, there you go. And you start to work together. Why? Because you're working together. And he gives you what you need. He puts in your hand what you need as you need it. Right?
Yes.
Why? Because he's a good helper.
Yes.
Now, he's not the doer in that sense. See, we're the doer. But what are we doing? We're doing the word, and he's the helper. He's the one that actually makes it happen, but we got to do the word so he can make it happen. Right?
Yes.
Now, so what's going to happen is we're going to move forward into the people in just a moment. And as we find out what the problem is, and then we take them by the hand, just before you take them by the hand, the Holy Spirit already knows their problem. Isn't that right? He already knows their problem. So because he already knows their problem, when you reach out, before they put their hand in yours, he's going to put what you need to fix them in your hand. Why? Because he's a good helper.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So don't worry about, well, I don't have this gift, don't have that. Don't even worry about that. The Holy Spirit is the gift you need to have. Because in him is every gift you need. Every tool you need, everything you need, it's all right there. Isn't it right? If you got him, you got everything you need because he's the power of God. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to ask them what they need. Whenever they tell you what the name is, then you're just going to speak to that thing. Now listen, we don't want this drawn out. It's not fellowship time. We want it short, quick, and to the point. Amen? Now listen, you count Jesus' words in every healing that you ever see him perform. He never prayed long prayers. Long prayers are the sign of unbelief. You pray long because you think it's a shotgun prayer. You're just trying to hit out there and hit something. Right? And you think, and you're afraid to stop praying because you know when you stop, something should be different, but you're afraid it won't be different, so you keep praying forever. Because you don't want to stop because you don't want to look stupid. Right? So you're going to pray short and quick prayers. Jesus said, what do you want? I want to receive my eyesight. Jesus said, receive your eyesight. That's all there was to it. And it doesn't sound spiritual. Not all this stuff. And we're not talking to God about it. We're telling them, I grant your request. Be healed. Isn't that easy? Devil, in the name of Jesus, go. Sickness, go. Cancer, go. Leave their body. And Jesus, go. Isn't that simple? Now, when you say it, I want you to say it. I want you to convince that sickness. I want you to talk to it like a person. Jesus talked to a tree like a person. He talked to the wind and the waves like a person. He said to talk to a mountain like a person. Right? So I want you to talk to their problem, their body, whatever it is, like a person. And whenever you do, I want you to tell her what to do, and what you want it to do is go. So I want you to convince that thing in them, that sickness or disease, that it must obey you. And now to do that, you're not going to say, devil, would you please leave? Okay? Because you're going to say, sickness, cancer, will you go? And it's going to go, no. It's going to answer you back and say, no, I'm not going to go. So you're not asking it. Right? You're going to command it. And you're going to do it like you would a dog or something. Right? I'm thinking of Smith Wigglesworth, actually, story he told about it. Because he was at a train. The bus was coming, and the dog was there. This lady came up, this little dog wagging his tail, sweet little dog. And she said, now, puppy, go home. You got to go home. And the dog just stood there and wagged his tail. Puppy, go home. Go home. Wagging his tail. And finally, the bus starts coming into view, starts to pull up. And she said, no, puppy, now you got to go. You got to go home. And the dog just stands there wagging his tail at her. And finally, she looks at him, and she's got to get now. Actually, it was a train. She had to get on the train. So she turns to the dog and goes, I said, get! And the dog took off running. And Wigglesworth is standing there and says, that's how you got to treat the devil.
Yeah.
All right? So that's what we're going to do tonight. That person's going to say, well, I have leukemia. Well, I have asthma. I have emphysema. I have cancer. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, cancer, emphysema, whatever it is, you're going to call it by name and say, I command you in Jesus' name. I command you right now in the name of Jesus, emphysema, go! You hear that? Get serious. Want it out of them like you would want it out of you. Amen?
Yeah.
Get serious. Convince that thing it's got to listen to you. It has to. Don't take no for an answer. Get serious with this thing. It's an enemy. Right? Short and not, oh, I command you, oh, please go in Jesus' name. You got to go, oh, Holy Father, Lord, take this thing. None of that. That does not work. Amen? You're representing Jesus. Say what He would say. Sickness, go. Be healed. Be free. Commands, not request. Amen? Y'all ready to do this?
Yeah.
How about y'all? Y'all ready to get healed?
Yeah.
All right. What we want to do is we want to send y'all out. As y'all go forward, if you can, males go to males, female to female. If you can, and we got more of y'all than there are them. There'd be more for us than against us. All right, now watch. Okay. Now, as you go forward, if you have to, gang up on them, two or three, that's fine. Not a problem. Okay, so y'all get to participate. All right, so go ahead and move on out. Now, if you need healing, raise your hand. Now, okay, y'all move on into them. Move on into them. Don't scare them. It's okay. These people love you. Don't worry. They love you. Going forward. Going out there. They got their hands up. Go to them. Go to them. When you get there, you can begin praying. Make it short and quick. Short and quick. In the name of Jesus. Complete healing. In the name of Jesus. Right now. Right now. We command absolute healing. Blast that thing. Tell it to go. Take them by the hand. Go. Go. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command you to go. Right now, right now, right now. In the name of Jesus. There we go. There we go. That's it. That's it. Amen. Amen. Amen.